Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan. 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Listen, here's the bottom line with Brian Daboll. All right? Brian Daboll took a gamble on a player who was not healthy. He got burned. And then he had a contentious post-game interview. And here's the other thing. Listen, we can sit here and debate, and we will, obviously. Was it a fair question? Was it a gotcha question? Was it too early? It doesn't matter. Brian Daboll and the Giants are going to lose a lot of games this year. And if Brian Daboll, like I told you during the summer, doesn't learn how to reel it in a little bit, Brian Daboll is going to be the ex-coach of the Giants.
CBT, I don't see it that way. I was saying that after week one, which was an embarrassing performance on all accounts, many levels, okay, that if that continued, then Shane and Daboll should be on the hot seat. That did not continue. Now, they found a different way to lose a game and aggravate everybody in a game that if that was played with a kicker, in all likelihood, they would have won the game. Now, there were issues, too. The defense couldn't stop anybody. I mean, yeah, the bend don't break is great, but you have to actually get off the damn field, and they couldn't do that. But this, to me, is not off the rails. This is not going, you know, oh, the Giants are going to lose every game this year. If you watch the game, the Giants were significantly better than what they were in week one. Now, obviously, the Commanders, whatever the damn name of the Washington football team is, they are not as good as Minnesota. So that's where you look at it and say, well, it was an ugly game. But still, the Giants themselves played better. They were competent offensively. They were able to move the football. You saw the legitimacy of the weapon that they have in Neighbors. Singletary ran the ball. So you saw defensively some of the players that they have. And again, although they couldn't get off the field, they also didn't allow any touchdowns. So there were some good things for me from week one to week two. I don't think that it's as bad as everybody's making it, meaning fire Daboll, change the regime right now. I didn't take that from week two.
Now, by the way, yeah, they did some good things, but it doesn't matter. They're 0-2, and then you got the Browns, you got Dallas, you got the Steelers, right. You got Philly, you got to go to Seattle. Again, John's going to lose a lot, and I'm with you. By no means am I saying that Brian Daboll should be fired. Please. All I'm saying is he's got to watch it, because whether or not we agree with the line of questioning, it's really irrelevant at this point, because once a narrative begins to grow, especially here, it's only going to get snuffed out with wins, and I don't think the Giants are good enough to win. So what's going to happen?
Fair enough.
You know, so the only way this starts to go away is if Brian Daboll begins, and I know it's hard for Daboll. He's got to, I don't want to say overhaul, but, man, he's got to tweak what he puts out there for public consumption.
Right,
you can't stare down reporters. Coach, I get it. You messed up with the kicker. You're pissed. You lost. Really, since the 6-1 start a couple of years ago, you lose basically every week. And I know it's not fun, and I would not want to be in your shoes. I get it. But it's big boy territory. This is New York City, all right? You are the coach of the Giants. You're not coaching Bama or coaching Georgia or coaching Notre Dame where you can stare people down and they're going to be afraid. They're going to be coming at you. They're going to come at you more.
Right, but what an idiotic question. And I like Pat Leonard a lot.
Really?
I'm friends with him. Yeah.
Idiotic?
To ask if he's worried about his job after week two?
Dude, he didn't do it. Well, let me ask you a question.
By the way, they were doing this week one. So, yeah, there's a witch hunt for Brian Daboll.
No, really? Wait. So you think people want to get him fired?
I think 1,000%. The members of the media, and this is just me from the outside,
yep,
using some common sense. I think the members of the media don't like that Brian Daboll isn't buddy-buddy with everybody and is short with some of his answers. And the second that they get a little window to do something, create some drama, they're doing it. Now, again, I am friends with Pat Leonard. I think it was an idiotic question to bring up in week two. He brought it up last week about Daboll. Are you worried about your job? Are you worried about getting fired? Like, every week we're going to ask about this? Does Daboll have to remind everybody that he took a team, a crap team, to the postseason and won a game just a couple years ago? Now, you want to get on him yesterday. What are we getting on him for? You're going to say because of the kicker, right?
Well, yeah, but you start with that.
Okay, but he, Dable, answered it by saying he was good to go. Now, do we know the exact inner workings of what happened? Gunnow, who for some reason, like, my biggest issue is having Gunnow on the roster, because a kicker with injury issues like Gunnow's had for 2 years, just cut him and move on. Find somebody who could kick the ball and stay healthy. So that's one issue. But I'm assuming Dable went to him and said, are you good to go? They watched him in warmups and felt like he was good to go. Otherwise, they wouldn't have had him. What do you think? Dable wants to play the game without a kicker? So he got hurt, a different injury. Does one tie into the next? Who the hell knows?
Probably.
Okay, but we don't know. He chased down a kickoff. He blew out his hamstring. He gets hurt. What do you want the guy to do?
Well, again, listen, Sal, that's why I'm saying whether it's fair or not, it's almost immaterial right to the conversation. Now it's beginning, when it gets like this, this early, right, now it's about the optics. And I know that the Giants very easily could have won on a lot of levels. They should have won. Neighbors was, I loved how he owned the drop. He was phenomenal. He's going to be great for a long time. Jones was pretty good.
Yeah.
Singletary outside of the fumble was really good. Like, the Giants did some good things. The
sure.
Giants were ready to play, but whether or not the head coach was like, you're either right or you're wrong. And his calculation on Graham Gunnow was wrong.
Okay.
And then his post game, again, I'm not trying to make this more than it was. It's
yeah.
not like he blistered pad and dropped F-bombs and was like antagonistic. But the death stare, it's a bad look. And it's only gonna get worse.
I told you
and I told everybody, there is one thing that can derail his tenure as coach of the Giants, and that's his personality. And 2 weeks into this year, it's already here.
Now,
undeniably here. Whether you like it, whether I like it, whether you defend it or him, or I defend it or him, it doesn't matter. The template is set. He's got some enemies now, and now he's got problems.
Well, they
got
to win games.
Well, but they're not going to.
Yeah, well, but you don't know that.
No. They're not going to win. How many games are going to win this year?
They lost the first two games
that they were supposed to win.
Oh, but you don't know. You're just predicting that they're not going to win any games. They could go out there and beat Cleveland, and who knows? I mean, they did beat the Eagles last year. They did right the ship when many, including yourself last year, thought they were going to win 2 or 3 games.
So if they go 5-12, and this nonsense happens every week, he's back?
My point is
that. Now with Belichick out there.
My point is, let's wait and see. Like, that would be a fair question from the reporters to ask if the Giants are 0-10 or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Or for Connor Hughes to tweet out the Giants are a league-wide embarrassment. Like, it's week two, and they got better from week one to week two. I'm not trying to make excuses. You can't lose to Washington. Like, that's a game that they should have won 99 out of 100 times. But, come on, how can we not sit here and say that they did not show improvement from week one to week two? Also factor in what Dable has done well in his career. Matter of fact, my issue last week was that he almost didn't get upset enough. And the bigger picture is, do you think, because I know how Leonard feels or Connor Hughes feels and how some fans and media members feel,
yeah,
maybe they've had enough. Do you think the Giants within that building are sitting here saying week two, oh, we got to make a total change? I think there's enough there that would give you reason to still believe in whether it's Shane or Dable. And by the way, if anybody deserves blame, it should be Joe Shane. Now, again, these are many different conversations.
A million different ones.
But it all
goes back to the coach and do you win or lose?
Well, let's simplify. and they're 0-2. Fair enough, they're 0-2.
Yep.
But you did see significant improvement from week one to week two.
I'm not looking for second place trophies.
Right.
It's the New York Giants. Win the game.
Right.
Big deal they got better. They couldn't get worse.
Right.
They got better. Is that where we're at? This isn't year one.
Yeah, it's week two.
This isn't year two. This is year three.
It's week two.
This is year three.
What was the Giants' expected win total this year?
6.5.
Okay, so what do you want Brian Dable to do?
I don't know. How about make a better decision with your kicker? Because if you did, you
wouldn't
be 1-1.
The guy got hurt. He got hurt.
But he was already hurt. He didn't get hurt. He was already hurt.
What was
miscalculation?
What was his pre-game injury?
What was the groin?
And what was his in-game? Wait, hold on.
So I'm hearing two different things. And by the way, we'll get to the Jets later. When I get back from Nashville last night, I'm watching you Sundays with Sal.
Right.
And you're telling us on TV, you did the Google search.
Right.
It could be connected, the groin, the hamstring. Now you're saying it's not the same thing?
We don't know.
Which one is it?
We don't know, but we know that
they made a mistake.
Yeah. Well,
and he's the coach.
No, we know that he got hurt. And by the way, that's not even just the sole reason why they lost. So, like, we can pile on that, sure.
Yeah.
But it's not the sole reason that they lost. If Neighbors catches that fourth down, the Giants win the game. And not only that, if they had the kicker, then different decisions would have been made in game. It's unfortunate. unfortunate. You can't play a game without a kicker, especially the Giants, because they're nowhere near good enough to win a game without a kicker, especially that game, a field goal game against the Washington football team. But the Giants did score 3 touchdowns, didn't allow one, like, and they showed significant improvement. I don't know what the injury is. All I know is people are piling on and holding on to that one little thing. What if Gano misses these kicks? What if that's the case? I mean, so are we going to kill the coach for that? And asking him about his job is ridiculous week 2. And it was asked week 1. He's not going anywhere. Now, BT, if he's 2-15 or whatever it may be, different story. Mm-hmm. It's week 2, and they already showed improvement from week 1 to week 2. I don't think the calling for his job at this particular point is the right sentiment to have.
And just to reiterate, I don't love the question either. I'm talking about the reaction.
Understood.
Which now, you know, I mean, I wouldn't have asked that question if I'm in that press conference. I think that's somewhat unfair this early. But it's almost irrelevant to the big picture.
Okay, let's simplify. So you think ultimately Dable will be judged on wins and losses, right?
I think that's a massive part of it, obviously, yeah. But I also think that he's going to be judged on his personality and the optics of what he admits every week. It is what it is.
Right. So last year
he was fighting with his DC. Right. He had issues with his OC. And the people need to understand. This is why I said this during the summer. I didn't make this. I like Brian Dable.
Right.
But when your GM needs to go into the booth and put on a set of headphones to determine the interaction and like the culture in year 2, that's not good. And then in year 3, you lose the first game, you look awful. Mm-hmm. You lose the second game, you make a dumb decision with the kicker, and that's really why you lost. And now you get into a stare down with multiple reporters. How is that good? Like, how that to me, dude, this is the flames, and I hate this because I like Dable. He could be good. He's going to sabotage himself, and it's already here. It's already here. 888-808-1019. Terrible loss. Can't lose that game. It's the Commanders. This isn't in Philly. 888-808-1019. All right. Let's get to you guys here. Anthony's up in Rothman with BT and Sal. Ant, what's happening, buddy?
What's going on, fellas? Good fan. How's everyone doing?
What's up, man?
What's going on?
Listen, this guy pops up on the injury report on Saturday, the day before the game. They have 2 open roster spots to fill on Sunday. Why not fill one with a backup kicker? It screwed them last year when they played the Jets.
I know. I don't have an answer for you. I mean, I wish I did.
I didn't,
he messed
but
up.
This is a Dable situation. How does Dable not realize this? He doesn't learn his lesson from last year?
Messed up.
He trusted his
it's
kicker. He trusted his kicker. All right, so he messed up. So what do we want to do? Fire him because of that? Is that why they lost the game? What was the bigger deal? Whoa. What was the bigger deal as far as the win loss of that game? Was it A, not having Graham Gano healthy, or B, Malik Nabers dropping a ball on 4th down?
I think it was the inability to stop a rookie quarterback from basically doing whatever he wanted.
What does that have to do with the kicker? So even more to the point.
But he's the coach. Go ahead.
They wouldn't have to go for it on 4th down where Malik dropped that ball. They could have kicked the field goal.
I know.
And went up.
Right, and what about earlier in the game where they did go for it with the kicker where maybe they wouldn't have? So let's. There's 2 different things here. You want to get on Dable for the decision where a player got hurt. Guy blew out his hamstring running down a kick. We're going to kill Dable for that and say he should be fired? Look, that's one thing, saying he made a mistake. The other thing is watching the way that this game was coached and the way that the team played. And they played, to me, significantly better than what they did in week 1. There's no way anyone with any kind of logic right now in week 2 will be talking about Brian Dable's job security. Like, it just doesn't make any sense, unless you're on which arm.
I think people were talking about it last year. I think it's completely logical. Now, again, it's early, and it seems almost unfair unless you properly connect the dots back to last year.
Right.
There, it was last year inwardly. It was bad. It was bad. That's why I love him. But like Tiki was talking about his job security during the season. He's making it seem like we're nuts for saying that Dable might be on the hot seat.
Which is what I think is the case.
I think you guys are nuts for thinking that. That like, Brian, first of all, they're 8-19-1 in their last 28 games. So just judged on the record, they stink.
Yeah, look at the roster, though.
But that gets to Shane. Understood.
We don't talk about Joe Shane. Why? Well, the golden boy, Joe Shane, nobody can talk about him. His roster stinks.
Because the season started.
Yet Dable took that team with no roster before even Shane took over, obviously, and had his real imprint on the team, and took him to a playoff game and won a playoff game. But all the talk about Dable. So that's why I think we're getting down to it, BT. I think it's more about the way that Dable handles himself more so than about the results, because the results are somewhat expected.
I agree.
Okay, so then that's where we differ.
I largely agree. Right. Listen, I'd be willing, and I guess on some level I am, I'm willing to give Dable a pass. All right, you messed up with the kicker. It's happened before. It's going to happen again.
Can't happen, but it happens.
Yeah, I know. And it looks bad, 0-2, tough schedule coming up. Giants aren't winning a lot. I think most of us think that, and we don't know that, but we think that. We strongly surmise that, and we surmise that coming into the season. But now it's things that, and this is the biggest problem for Dable. Now it's in the hands of others. And now he can't control this. That stare down's a bad look. And trust me, like man to man, human to human, I get it. He probably wanted to, I don't know, Pat, I know you know him. I've read him for a long time. He probably wanted to grab Pat by the collar and say, dude, it's week two.
Right.
Are you out of your mind?
Right, because he's been saying
but
this.
But you got to be above that, dude.
Okay.
This is not a little podunk college town where everybody's kissing your ass and there's one little newspaper and they, oh, Coach Saban,
right.
Georgia, oh, yeah, come on, go Dogs, yeah. Or Texas A&M. This is New York and the Giants. And the Giants stink, and their coach is a little too tense. That ain't good. It's a bad combination. Bobby's up in the Bronx. Bobby, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Bobby?
Sal, actually, I agree with you with that witch hunt thing. I think with Belichick hanging, lurking around, I think it's definitely because the press would love to have Belichick here. They would love to have him and pepper him with questions every week. And I think they're done with Dable, you know? Like, I love him. He's a great coach. But I think they're done with him, and they're ready to ride him out.
I guarantee you that a part of this where the media has been on Dable, you know, dating back to last year, BT, is because of the way that he is with the media and dealing with the media. Short, not giving a lot of answers. Belichickian, if you will, without the resume.
Without the rings.
Yeah. So, but that shouldn't mean anything. And I don't think it means that much. Now, again, I don't know. I'm just assuming here. I don't believe it means that much within the building. Like, I'd be shocked if anybody within the Giants organization was thinking about Brian Dable's job security at this particular point. End of the year, if it is in fact off the rails and there's bickering and Dable keeps, you know, being short with the media and feisty and they're losing games for whatever reason. That may be a different story. Right now, week two, where you saw improvement from week one to week two. Well, the team went. Now, I'm not trying to give out participation trophies either, obviously. But the Giants weren't expected to do squat this year. So, I mean, they're not expected to win a lot of games. And after the blowout in Minnesota, you didn't think it'd get any worse. It didn't get worse for me with the way that they played. They played much, much better. With a quarterback with limitations, with a defense with limitations. There's a lot there that, to me, that I took away would be positive. It's unfortunate that because of the kicker situation, there's a lot of drama involved, and obviously the Giants couldn't figure out a way to win a football game that they should have won. But I'm just looking at it as they got better from week one to week two.
All right, BT and Sal here on the Fan, 888-808-1019. That's 888-808-1019. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata. So Giants 0-2. We'll get to those Jets later. Obviously squeezing the baseball. It is a massive Monday juggle. But these problems early on for Dable, we're not just pulling this out of a hat. They are real, and he needs to stabilize.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Or he is in massive trouble with the Giants.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, BT and Sal here on the Fan. We're picking up the pieces to the second loss of the Giants season. Now listen, obviously a lot better than week one, but not good enough. 0-2 is 0-2. I will do Jets later. I mean, the thing about Daniel Jones, and I was stressing this on Friday. This was not everybody agreed. A lot of you did not. I get it. A lot of you wanted him pulled. I thought we'd see a better Jones. Now, I don't know that Jones is going to do enough to stabilize this season. I kind of surmise that he won't. But I did think there was a fair amount of rust in his, you know, based on his inactivity. I thought Daniel Jones did a pretty good job yesterday. Made some plays.
Yeah, I mean, he was okay. You're watching the game, and good God. I mean, Mark Schlereth. Not that I'm trying to turn this into about him.
Oh, that's right. He was doing, I saw the highlights because I was in Tennessee.
Oh, my God. We got a great game here. It gave like 12-9 at half or whatever. Oh, you get a great game. Daniel Jones play. He had a special. No, nothing about Daniel Jones was special. Okay, Mark, let me save you the suspense here. I'm sure you're watching plenty of film, but if you've watched Daniel Jones, like, they made it like Daniel Jones was, this is year two. It's year six of Daniel Jones. But he was competent, which was nice to see for a change. And the best part about yesterday, you didn't have to see Daniel Jones until 125. Normally, you sit down 105. Oh, here we go. Daniel Jones and his ineptitude. You didn't get a Giants offense didn't get on the field to 125, for goodness sake. But anyway, yes, he was much better. And more than Jones, legitimizing the weapon with Neighbors. Like, the Giants made it a focal point to get the ball in Neighbors' hands, which they did quite a bit yesterday.
Obviously, though, with the stuff with Dable post-game and the Graham Gano miscalculation, that is the big story. It's BT and Sal's. Get back to you guys here. 888-808-1019. Again, we'll do Jets at 11, squeezing those Yanks and Mets. Obviously, big juggle. Joe is in Parsippany. What's happening, Joe?
What's going on, guys?
Good. How you doing?
Guys, did Brian Dable forget that he's the head coach of the Giants and not just the offensive coordinator? I mean, it's his job. This is the second time he did this, to know that Gano has a problem. Reporters are saying he could barely walk on Friday, but Dable didn't know that. It's your job as a head coach to bring somebody in. And Sal, to say that didn't change the game plan, it changed the whole game plan. You can't kick a field goal. You can't kick an extra point. It changes the whole dynamic
of the
game.
Who said it didn't change the game plan?
You said it before on a call.
No, I didn't.
I didn't say they were going to kick the ball or not.
Yeah, at that point when he got, I didn't say it didn't change the game plan. I'm saying it. You don't know, there were decisions that were made in game without Graham Gano that wouldn't have been made if he were there. So you don't know that that's the reason that they lost, because they didn't have the kicker. That's what I said. I didn't say it didn't change the game plan. And by the way, do you think Brian Dable is alone in making these decisions? Or do you think, I don't know, the team maybe employs a doctor or two that also gave the head coach a go? Dable's not going to look at the guy and feel his groin and be like, you know what? Yeah, he's good to go. He's going to get input from the player himself, from the, like, let's use some common freaking sense here for a change. Going to use the input from the doctors, from the player himself. You think Dable's just like, oh, you know what? Big boy, suck it up and get out there. No, I don't think so. We don't know the details of it.
This happened before, though. This is not like this has happened. It happened last year versus the Jets. He's the head coach of the team. Bring somebody else in. This is not like having a receiver that goes down. You have four backups there playing. This is a kicker. They made no adjustments in that game, too, to say the only improvement was the offense. What did the defense do? The Commanders didn't punt the ball once yesterday. I mean, they ran the same play, 3rd and 15. Daniels, it was like they didn't know that he was a running quarterback. No adjustments at halftime, nothing.
Well, I mean, listen, the adjustments, and thanks for the call there, Joe. Yeah, we throw that out there. Actually, this came up on the show last week, like the adjustments. I mean, yeah, I mean, come on, man. We're not coaches. We're not scouring film. And I don't know why everybody thinks you need to make an adjustment at the half. How about you make it, and not just the Giants, everybody, make adjustments series to series. I just think that the adjustment take that a lot of you have, and by the way, I've had that over the years as well. I think it's just played out. We couldn't identify a detailed, like a real deep dive schematical adjustment if our lives depended on it. Most of us, and I'm throwing myself in there, I don't care about adjustments. What you should have in the game, what they should have done is adjusted to the creakiness in his groin. Like, they had a chance to adjust to that, and he didn't. And it burned him, and they're now 0-2.
But if they're watching him 10 minutes before the game, and again, I think this is beyond Dable, which is why I think it's ridiculous to put him on the hot seat for this specifically. You don't like the way he was short with the media? All right, different story, to each their own. Some people want to be sensitive to that stuff. I get it, and I think ultimately it's about the losses. But if the guy's kicking 40, 50-yard field goals, whatever it may be, 10 minutes before the game, you tell me he's no good? Like, nobody's expecting him to run around and make it tackled. That's Gano being an idiot. Hey, knucklehead, you've got an issue with your groin. You're going to run down on a 100-yard kickoff trying to chase the guy? Like, that's just stupid to me. But anyway, understood. You want to have more insurance. Gano's always hurt. Those are fair questions. You want to get on the defense, and Dable's got to be a part of that. He's the head coach. If we hold Robert Saleh accountable for the offense, which, you know, some people don't, but we certainly do, then Dable, a part of his team, is the defense.
He's the
coach. You can't ignore it. But Bowens is known for the bend, don't break. That was out of hand yesterday. They didn't break, which is great. You can't allow 30 field goals. I mean, my God, you got to have some. Can you force a punt? Can you turn them over, for goodness sake? I mean, geez.
I'm sure many of you heard this stat, but, I mean, there is one team. Jerry gave you a version of this. I'm going to give you a little bit of a slightly different version. There is one team, Guess which team it is in NFL history to score three or more touchdowns, not allow one, and lose in regulation? The Giants. That's what happened yesterday. One team in all the NFL games. Now, I'm not saying that that's, I mean, what does it really mean? It just means you are on the wrong side of a very
odd
NFL stat.
You're talking about just yesterday?
No, in the entire history of the NFL.
Yeah, that's what I thought. One
team scored three or more touchdowns.
Right, and hasn't
allowed none.
Right.
And lost in regulation. There was another team that lost in overtime under the same, you know, same
sequence. Right, so it's only happened twice in the history of the league.
Yeah, but once in terms of regulation.
Right.
And again, it's an ignominious stat, whatever. It doesn't mean like it's an extra loss,
but it shows it's
not a good thing.
You play that game 100 times, you're going to win it 99.
Except the time that you had to win it. You know, let me ask you this, Sal.
Yeah.
So, see, again, the Dable stuff to me is fascinating because, man, there's a lot of things to like and there's a lot of things to worry about, all right? If we had the conversation, and the Giants, unlike the Giants are based on championships. Like, when the Jets hire a coach or they draft the quarterback, yeah, there's a Super Bowl aspiration deep down, but you're just hoping that it's going to pull you out of the weeds. When the Giants do something, you're like, all right, is this the guy that's going to hoist Lombardi number five? Mm-hmm. So, after the 2022 season, you know, 9 wins, playoff run, improbable season, road playoff win, Jones good. What do you think percentage-wise within the Giant fan base were, man, this is going to be the next champion coach?
99.9.
Okay, what do you think it
is now?
Maybe
even 100.
What do you think it is now? 20?
No.
30?
No.
It's not more than 30%.
I would say 50-50.
No, man, yeah, that seems ambitious.
I still think that we can't keep doing this. We do it all the time. Sports talk show hosts, media members, fans. You can't overreact to that extent where you push people out before they even get really started here. It's only year three of Shane and Dable. The really messed up thing is that they didn't have their own quarterback. Now, that's on them for going with Daniel Jones. Fine, but we can't really evaluate them. And really, the worst thing that happened was that they actually had success the first year. Like, if they didn't have that and raise the expectations, then maybe it wouldn't be on the scale that we're grading him at right now. All I can tell you is how I feel. And while he's not perfect, I wholeheartedly believe Brian Daboll is going to be an excellent NFL head coach. I feel like I've seen enough of him. Even last year, when things were off the rails, he got him back on track with no quarterback, with a team that was ravaged by injury, didn't have talent to begin with. So I can't speak for everybody else. I still believe in Dable. I think it's a major mistake with the witch hunt that's going on here.
Hey, by the way, I think he's going to be an excellent head coach as well. My fear is that version 2.0 is going to be somewhere else. That's the difference. 888-808-1019. Sean in Brick, New Jersey. What's happening, Sean?
Good morning, boys. How we doing?
What's going on, Sean? Buddy?
Not much. But, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, the kicker issue is the big thing here. But, I mean, the Giants' run defense yesterday, it was absolutely atrocious.
It was terrible.
I mean, you bring in a new defensive coordinator, and you let, you know, a rookie quarterback, I mean, the first thing you want to say is make this guy, you know, beat us throwing the ball, right? And he only had 44 yards rushing, so it wasn't even like he was scrambling around and making plays with his feet.
Yes,
I mean, Robinson just crushed him.
No.
I mean, a little bit. 44.
Well, here's the key. You're right, Sean, by looking at the numbers, so it doesn't look that bad. However, if you watch the game, and I'm sure you did, where running quarterbacks, and I've said this forever, since Michael Vick, so you're going back over 20 years ago, where running quarterbacks are their most dangerous are broken down pass plays. It is a backbreaker for the defense. Third and long, Daniels tucks it. He gets the first down or whatever. It could be third and short. You got everything covered. Daniels tucks it, gets the first down. That's the backbreaker. So it's not that he has to go for 130 yards like Lamar Jackson. It's those plays that he makes with his legs that extends drives. And you saw what happened yesterday where Washington dominated the time of possession.
Yeah, 40-20.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
and that game,
one, right?
That game, and the Giants, yep. And the Giants still should have won the game, even with that being the case. But they didn't, so it's not shoulda, coulda, woulda. Like they lost the game. And a run defense has to be better, bottom line. Figure it out. You can't let that happen.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, again, we're focusing on Gano, but they got gassed for 215 yards.
Right.
That's
they couldn't get off the field.
It's gross.
You know, frustrating.
It's like the Jets on Monday
in
a lot of ways.
And the difference is that Washington's offensive attack should be nowhere near.
Yes.
And I like Daniels, and I'd be excited if I'm the Commanders.
Yeah,
do have some weapons, whether it's Eckler or Robinson. We talked about this
in. No doubt.
But, I mean, you can't force one punt. Come on. I mean, Washington was the team yesterday that could have played without a kicker. They didn't need one. They didn't need the punter all game. Good God.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Oh, hitting a 239 with 8 home runs and 30 runs batted in. Well hit fly ball deep to right field. Forget it, it's going to go. There it goes. Home run.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Time for the Wendy's Yankees turning point of the game contest here on the Fan. Wendy's, the official hamburger of the New York Yankees. First one to correctly identify yesterday's turning point of the game. Give us a buzz, 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. Yanks starting to look good. Get those dubs, and you'll receive two pairs of tickets to a 2024 Yanks regular season game. It's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball. The Fan will do Yanks, a little Mets later on as well. Obviously, baseball will push that to the back end, but Yankees did take three of the four. The Cole situation drove me nuts. I'll get into that later. Up three on the O's, though, who have lost 7 of 10, and the Yankees heading out west. Three in Seattle, three at the Coliseum. Last series ever at the Coliseum as the A's move on to Sacramento and eventually Vegas. So that's what the Yankees have coming up. And hopefully they can, keep going here. Stick still a little quiet, but you squeeze out wins where you could get them. All right, Sal, before we get back to these calls, 888-808-1019. I don't know it's early, but you got to look at this stuff. There's three teams in the NFC, a bunch in the AFC, but there's three teams in the NFC 0-2. Giants, obviously one of them. They are big dogs. I'm guessing it's going to be one of the bigger spreads this week for week three. 7-point underdogs in Cleveland, who seemed to rectify a few things yesterday. It's a must-win, dude.
Yeah, well, like
you have to win the game.
This is still, regardless of what the spread says, this is still a winnable game. Like, you look at the game with the Cowboys and you feel like, hey, look, anything could happen. It's football. But you just look at that game like it's a total mismatch and there's no chance the Giants could win that game. Again, anything could happen, so who knows. But at least on paper, I feel like, Cleveland did win yesterday. They're not that impressive. And that's a defensive team. Giants got to figure out a way to compete and win. And we've seen, look around the NFL, what the upsets that happen all the time. What the Giants make it seem impossible to win one of these games. So I'm not writing it off right yet, but you're right. I mean, you can't start 0-3 because then you have the Cowboys and you look at it 0-4 and tough games follow that.
Pittsburgh eventually down
at
Pittsburgh.
Seattle, at Seattle versus the Bengals, versus the Eagles at Pittsburgh. I mean, the Giants have at least a couple of gimmies after that, which should be gimmies in with them. Who knows?
Carolina, right? There's a couple teams in
Commanders
there.
Commanders at home and Panthers at home.
Well, Commanders aren't a gimme, but...
Well, I mean, it should be at home. I mean, dude, if you go based off of just like you always do this, and I like that idea where you would go games that they're going to be favored in.
Okay, good. Let's run down the list.
Obviously, at Cleveland, no.
Dogs.
Home against the Cowboys.
Dogs.
At Seattle.
Dogs.
Home against the Bengals.
Dogs.
Home against the Eagles.
Dogs.
At Pittsburgh.
Dogs.
Home against the Commanders.
Depending upon how badly they look in these games. I mean, that could be like a point either way. Yeah. I'm going to say pick them or a barely visible favorite.
Home against the Panthers.
Favorites.
Home against the Bucks.
Dogs.
At Cowboys.
Dogs.
Home against the Saints.
Dogs.
Home against the Ravens.
Dogs.
At Atlanta.
Ravens aren't as good as I thought. Maybe. That's an early read, but still dogs. What was that last one?
At Atlanta.
Dogs.
Home against the Colts.
I mean, there's too many variables there. Maybe a chance to be favored. Not a big one, but maybe.
And then at Philly.
Dogs.
So let's give them the Colts three games definitively. Ugh. And I don't even know if you could say definitively.
I know you can't.
Three games. Now, what does that mean? Ultimately, nothing, but it just shows you that, like, on paper, and this is a game where I think on paper they could win, that they're going to be 7-point underdogs. I'll tell you right now, I would take, and now I'm not getting in bed with the Giants anymore because they burned me too many times, but I just don't think Cleveland's that good. So this line to me is indicative of where the Giants are at and how bad it's been through the first two games.
I could see that. They've got big quarterback issues, but, until the Giants start showing any interest in stopping the run, they are very vulnerable here. Just a bad loss, a tough day, and 0-2 was 0-2, no matter, Gano, the coach, the press conference, this, that, the fumble, the drop by Neighbors, who's amazing despite the drop. You're 0-2. 888-808-1019. How about Tyler in Trumbull, Connecticut? What's happening, Tyler?
Hey, what's up, boys? Hey, I took your advice last week. I didn't go apple picking. I told the wife one more Sunday, and I'm sorry I did. She texted me at 4 o'clock, LOL. She's laughing at me, and she thinks the New York Giants hit home runs.
Oh,
hey,
I don't think by the way, she's going to make you double up this. Hey, you're going to have to double up this weekend. Forget about going apple picking. You're going to have to go shoe shopping.
Now because you beat me.
Right, but no, here's the thing, Tyler. Either way, you win. Giants lost, but you won. We saved you from apple picking with your family. You're welcome.
Have you ever had a warm?
Come on. She's very thankful.
Hey, I don't think Brian Daboll is getting those questions about his job if Bill Belichick isn't in the wings. I think he's the sole reason Dable's facing that heat. And also, Sal, you said that the Giants showed improvement week over week?
From week one to week two, yes.
Sal, this is year three. Year three of a regime, and they went down to Washington and lost to a quarterback who's been there for 6 months. Ownership.
Oh, he's better. They have a better quarterback. Washington has a better quarterback than the Giants do.
That is worse in my backyard. What's up with the Washington field? My backyard looks nicer.
Yeah,
Stadium stinks.
But Washington has a better quarterback. And it is, you're right, it's year three, but it's week two of year three. So I said that they got better from week one to week two. That's a game where the Giants were competitive. And again, you don't even hand out participation trophies, but they were significantly better than what they were in week one. If it were the same way as week one, Daniel Jones would have been pulled from the game, and then there would have been a real issue. And it wouldn't even been talking about the kicker because it wouldn't have been close. But now again, what do they get for that? Nothing. They still have a loss hung on them. But they at least were competitive. Now you hope that they build off of week two and get better in week three and actually win a game for a change.
That stadium stinks. Even when they built it, it was brand new. It just never popped. Like the media or the radio, like the just where the booths are. Not that that impacts the fans. I get that. That's a first world
issue.
Looked
like they were in the end zone. Hoff took.
They're always in the end zone.
Hoff tweeted out a picture. You know, he does the Giants radio game.
Yeah, sure.
So get ready, Giants. Yeah, Giants. Commanders at one. I did see it. I'm like, where were your seats?
Yeah.
Where'd they have you guys? The broadcast booth usually, you know, between the 30s or 40s, you would think.
Well, usually, but the executive producer of the New York Giants broadcast, he was sitting up there with the stars. I mean, could you see anything? Did you want to see anything?
No, we were all the way on the one end zone. Yeah, no, we were not thrilled with that. That's probably one of the worst views in any stadium
it's
that we go
worst.
To.
How many call a game like that? It's
awful. I remember with Schusen complaining about that, rightfully so, when the Jets went there first time, whatever it was, I don't know, 05, whatever the heck the year was. Hoff, what kind of Giant representation was in the building? Because that's generally, now listen, you make trips, you have fun, you tailgate, it's an experience, but like there were a lot of fans, we'll get to the Jets coming up next, a lot of fans in Nashville. Now, Nashville is also a party and all that, but you travel more, you're more inclined to travel when you think your team has a chance to do a little something. Were Giant fans out in full force or no?
There was a lot of Commanders fans, obviously, but I think there was a ton of Giants fans, to be honest
all
with
right.
you.
Mm.
I saw a lot of Kayvon jerseys. I saw a lot of Daniel Jones jerseys right in front of us. It wasn't a Giant section, but they were sprinkled all over the place.
That doesn't surprise me. Giant fans are awesome, and they're rightfully ticked off, confused, a little bit of everything. Scott's right here in Manhattan. What's happening, Scott?
Hey, what's up, guys? Morning. Listen, both of you guys are spot on. Just for some reason, like I said, being a fan, like I said, I'm not giving up yet. You both was on the percentage-wise, the fans like myself, on the Dable thing, I think, listen, I do agree it's the 50-50, even though we lost a lot. And like I said, for sure, I don't think he's going anywhere. The Graham Gano thing, that's a coaching abuse, like you guys mentioned about the medical staff, that something should have been said. But the only thing happened yesterday, the defense looked pedestrian. So like I said, I didn't have a great expectancy of our team this year. Like, we're going really forward. But as long as I see progression as a fan, that's what I'm looking for. Because, like I said, I know it's like it's like you got the coach, you don't have the team. So, like I said, I'm still ride or die going forward.
Well, listen, respect. I'm sorry. Yeah. I was going to want Scott, I want to ask you, respect that for sure. I mean, he hung up. The last thing I want to do is tap out 2 weeks into the season. Some of you were tapping out 1 week into the season, you know, with the Jones stuff and, you know, tank for whomever, whatever. But I just wonder. Not that it impacts you. It's about the field, but I don't even want to say off the field stuff with Dable. That's so unfair. But this blossoming contentious relationship with a reporter, Sal. Mm-hmm. When does that ever end well for New York coach? Ever,
especially if they're losing.
I mean,
no, but it's,
maybe Billy Martin got away with it for a little bit, but the Yanks were even winning back.
But
then, to your point,
generally about the losing. Generally, that's what it stems from, the wins and losses. And Dable's had one good year, one bad year, and this is year three. If we quickly, BT, just did a pros and cons yesterday for the Giants.
Okay, yeah, let's go.
Three things. The pros.
Daniel Jones, you have them?
I do. I have mine.
Go for it.
Malik Neighbors.
Oh, like, no doubt. Superstar.
Yeah.
Stud.
And not only, like, to me, he did much more impactful things than I've ever seen Odell Beckham Jr. do, who made one great catch or whatever, but was too invisible at other times. Neighbors was, you get the ball in his hands, the guy's a game changer. He's an absolute beast. I know he dropped the fourth down,
yep.
But still, like, the emergence of Neighbors.
Got to
okay.
add this, too.
Even with a, go ahead.
Pertains to Neighbors.
Yeah.
He gets it.
Yeah.
Full accountability, right. Outstanding presence in the post game. Puts the thumb at the chest, love it.
Much
superstar.
More impactful. Look, even without a good quarterback, you get the ball in his hands,
yeah.
And he can change the game, even more so than Saquon Barkley. Number
okay.
two, Drew
Number
Phillips.
Two.
Drew Phillips, to me, is a player. Now, I mean, is it going to have a significant impact on this year's team or moving forward? We'll see. But Like, at least I look at that and say, okay, this guy's a player. To go along with the other knowns on that team, Drew Phillips is a beast and he's going to be a big-time player in this league. Third thing, Singletary. The way that he runs the football, it shows you. Now, I know the offensive line is bad. Maybe the offensive line should be ahead of Singletary because it is because of the offensive line. So I'll give the offensive line credit, but then also say that Singletary doesn't dance behind the line. He gets the ball and he runs. He runs with it. Now, again, the fumble, whatever, nitpicking, but their running game, even in just one game yesterday, looked more consistent and more sustainable than with Barkley, who would be negative yards, negative yards, negative yards, break when you get him in some space. He can be explosive. But I thought with Singletary running behind that offensive line, that was a big pro for them.
I've always liked Singletary. He's dynamic. He's, you know, he's not Saquon. He's not making that kind of money. He's now bounced around a little bit. And even if Saquon goes for, you know, two or three more touchdowns again tonight on national TV, I hope it doesn't, you know, dissuade or further persuade Giant fans to, depending upon how you view it now, it can go either way. To jump on, you know, hey, what are we doing? Why do we let him go? It was the right move for the Giants to let him go. You couldn't validate or justify paying him that kind of money for a team that's going nowhere. But it does, once again, remind us and reinforce that the running back, incredibly interchangeable. I'm a Singletary fan. I like the signing.
Correct. And the bigger point there is the O-line. So there's at least pieces in place to be, okay, you saw some improvement. The cons are, obviously, they lost the game, which in year three, still a development year. It's not the... Again, you want to win football games, but they lost the game. The defense was bad. And then if you want to pick on the head coach for his decision, that's it. But I think that those cons can be cleaned up more so than at least you have some pros that you can build off of to have long-term success.
Well, you know, you got to start with something here. And eventually you're going to have to start with a win. And the road to wins doesn't get a whole lot easier for the Giants, unfortunately. 888-808-1019. All right, coming up next, we'll still juggle the Giants all day. BT and Sal, not perfect. Not always pretty, pretty necessary. First win of the Aaron Rodgers era. What do we take away from the Jets? I was out there, so we'll get into that coming up next on The Fan.